Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Tes Vav. We're holding at the very, very top of the Amud. First line, first word. We know that there's an inyan that if you have a Mavi Sasum, you have to put up, according to Beis Shammai, a Lechi Vikaira. According to Beis Hill, a Lechi Oikaira. According to Blazer, Tula Chayayim. Now that Nora told us a little bit more about the inyan of the Lechi. Remember, the Lechi is a vertical pole. It's allowed to be very, very short, only 10 tefachim tall, only about 40 inches. And, according to Tanna Kamma, it can be even oivyon v'rochban mashehu. The mashehu, we said yesterday, can even be a very thin thread. But now the Gemara tells us there are requirements after all. It's itmar, lechi o imen me eilov. What does that mean, says the Tap Rashi? Shulei huk v'sham l'shem tikun mavoi. There happens to be a pole over there, but it was not set aside specifically for purposes of a mavoi, but it just happens to be standing there at the opening of the mavoi. Is that sufficient? So Abaye Omar Havi Lechi. Abaye says a lechi is a lechi is a lechi. There's no din of lishma as long as there's a pole there in front of the mavoi and it has the right dimensions. That's enough. Rav Amalei Avalechi, Rav says, no, you have to go and put it up. So Yuchad, Mezuman, Hirotzoy, Mufanechi, you got to make a Gantza Hachana, it's got to be L'Shem Lech. So now the Gemara is first going to narrow the Machlekes. Heichad lo yisamchinen alei mei esmoil kol yamalei pligi deloi havelechi. If they were not soymech on this Lechi from Erev Shabbos, they want to now rely on it on Shabbos, everybody agrees that in the middle of Shabbos you cannot say, I want this to be my lechi. Now, why didn't they rely on it from Erev Shabbos? Didn't they want the opportunity to go and carry within this mavoi? So Rashi tells us, it's talking about a situation, Rashi in the second line, Hechad lo yisamchin alei mei esmoil shehu yisham lechi acher denofel b'Shabbos. And Rashi Emerson is taking this from the Gemara towards the bottom of the Omid, right before the Mishnah. You're talking about that there was a normal Mavoi, and there was a normal Lechi. And that Lechi was dedicated, it was official Chanukah Sabayis. In fact, on the Lechi itself, it said, Zois Nidvas, Mishpacha Smith, Le'inyan Kiddush Shabbos. Ah, what a beautiful Chanukah Sabayis they gave Agamza Kiddush when they put up that Lechi. And people have been using that Lechi for a long time. Guess what? That Lechi unfortunately fell down one Shabbos. There was a terrible storm wind and no more Lechi. And people want to continue carrying on Shabbos. And then somebody noticed, hey, you know, besides the dedicated religious Lechi, there's a secular pole standing there for whatever reason. Maybe we can rely on that as well to be able to carry in the Mavoi. And Basil said, not Basil, and Abaye says, yes! Lechi oimen me'elav, even though it wasn't dedicated specifically, it wasn't sanctified, it wasn't sanctioned, dafka for a lechi for this mavi. Abla ma'isa sedor do al lechi, you can rely on that lechi. Aha, ezok di mor nochmo. When there was heichad lo yisamchin alei me'esmoil, if the day before, meaning an Erev Shabbos, people were not relying on that lechi, they were relying instead on another dedicated lechi. If that first one falls down and now it's in the middle of Shabbos, you cannot rely on the earlier lechi. We're talking about a situation where they were saimach on it from Friday, meaning there was construction done on this mavui, and as they were constructing it, they put up an extra pole in the front. That pole was going to be used, I don't know, for a no parking zone statement. Or it was to tell people, when you enter the Lechi and enter the Mavoi, drive slowly, children at play. Whatever the reason why they put that Lechi up, it really makes no difference. But the point is, it was not a Lechi that was dedicated for Hilchos Mavoi on Shabbos. It was just a Lechi O'Imen Me'elav. But people were cognizant of the fact that there was such a Lechi there already from Friday, and perhaps for the last year or 5 years, and therefore even though it wasn't a dedicated lechi for Hilchos Shabbos, you can rely on it. Or at least that's what Abaye holds. Abaye Omar have a lechi, tosam chino, let me ask what? If people got together and agreed, we're going to rely on this non-dedicated lechi to act as our lechi for Shabbos, fine. Rav Omar loy have a lechi. No. Kim the meikar lavadai to the hochi abidi. Loy have a lechi. You want to have a lechi? You got to construct a special lechi. Mitahi rutzain, betahin nimuchan umzuman. I am making a lechi for Shabbos. L'chayr, what's the machloikis between Abai and Rav? It's called kasolka daitach. Ki heichad the pligi belechi, pligi nami b'machitza. So the Gemara said, initially we assumed that the machloikis is not only balechi, but also by mechitza, which means if you have a mechitza, ho'imedes me'eleha. A mechitza, not that I and you constructed, but it was constructed on its own. So we assume that the same machloikis, that Abaye says, that's fine. A mechitza is a mechitza, mechitza. It doesn't have to be built specifically for Hilchos mechitza. And Rava disagrees. So let's see, Toshima, we're going to bring now a slew of rayas to Abaye, kashas on Rava. And the first kasha is, Toshima, we learned in Masechta Sukkah, Isis ukasim beinu ilonis. Vilonis tefanis lo. Person built his sukkah among trees. Of course, he was careful that the foliage of the trees would not lean over his sukkah and cause possible problems, because it's pos l'srach, as long as it's mechuber. So we're talking about that he cut all the branches from that side, so that was no problem. There's no foliage, no leaves, no nothing. But what he does have, he has the benefit of thick trees. And those trees are one next to each other. And it's great. I have here an automatic natural wall for my sukkah. I don't have to build that wall. I mean, it's not that different from nowadays when people go and build their sukkahs. Very often they try to use existing walls of existing buildings as one or two or sometimes all four of their machitzas. They're able to do it somewhere next to a building. So they didn't make dedicated walls l'kovid sukkahs. A wall is a wall is a wall. And of course they have to put on tzchach. That goes without saying. Anyway, our case is talking about the sukkah was, he made a sukkah among the trees, and the trees themselves acted as the walls of the sukkah. Says the Mishnah, Masech the sukkah, k'sher is a kosher. Now the problem is, according to Abaye, that's fine, because Abaye says, lechi o'imid me'elav, and similarly, mechitza ho'imedes me'eleha, even though I didn't go and plant these trees for sukkahs, but if the tree acts as a nice wall, the dimensions are all perfect, fine, so I can use it for a wall. But according to Rava, that says it has to be dafka dedicated, what's the lashon of Rava? Rava says, le have a lechi, kim de mi kara lava daita de hochi avidi, le have a lechi. Now just take out the word lechi and put in the word machitza. Lo have a machitza, kim de mi kara lava daita de hochi avidi, lo have a machitza. Izve bazoi, how can you use these ilonis as tefanois? The Gemara's teretz on the surface is very simple, but if you think about it just for a moment, it's what we'd call a colossal doichik teretz. What the Gemara is saying is, you know how you're able to use these trees as a wall for the sukkah? It's talking about that when you planted these trees a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, you weren't only thinking about trees, but you said to your wife, to your family, to your friends, I'm planting these trees because in Yad Hashem, in a year or 5 years or 10 years, I hope to be able to use these as the wall of my sukkah. No, if that's what he declared, if that's what he said, is all good. So then there's no problem, even according to Rav, because it's not a lechi ho'imid me'elov, it's a lechi or it's a mechitza that was in fact built specifically, or in this case, planted specifically to make a mechitza. If that is in fact the case, pshita, now, why is it any different than building a regular sukkah with regular walls? So here he built it by planting trees. So what's the chiddush? So if you're allowed to say, I would think that maybe the chachamim should impose a gezeira that since the whole construction or major part of this sukkah is based on trees, that he might come to Mishtamish Be'ilon on Shabbos or Yontif by hanging things up on the branches of the tree, climbing up on the tree, climbing down on the tree to enter into the sukkah, to go out of the sukkah, whatever. And so therefore he's going to come Mishtamish Be'ilon, which is Osir Midrabanan, Kamash Mulan, that the Chum were not Goyzer, and therefore it's not an issue, and that's why you are allowed to go and use such trees. You're probably going to ask Barry, it's Gzeira li Gzeira, because the whole reason is, but let me not preempt your question. What's your question, Barry?
Even before that, Tzach has to be Lishma.
For sure.
It was the Sukkah has to be Lishma. Since when?
Since when does a Lechi have to be Lishma?
Exactly. I'm saying that even the premise of this example is a non-starter. You don't need the walls to be Lishma. You can use existing walls. Tzach has to be Lishma. It's with Tzach.
I agree with you. And the same thing you can ask by a Lechi. Lechi is even less, because Sukkah is at least Minatoira. Lechi is Midrabban. The Rabbanan said that you're making a Mavoi as a Heker, go and put up a Lechi. Where does it say it has to be Yuchar Mezuman, Epsamit Leshma? You have a very good point. And in fact, as you see, we have a Machloikas Abai Verova. Abai is the one that says that it's fine, the Lechi is good, the Machit is good, everything is wonderful. And as you will recall, even though B'chol HaShas, normally we paskin like Rava over Abaya, there are six exceptions to the rule. And what is the mnemonic for those six exceptions?
Yaal Kigam.
Yaal Kigam. And what does Lamed of Yaal Kigam stand for?
Lech
Yoimid Me'elav. So this is one of those rare cases. Whenever you started Bav Metzia a few years ago as a child, some of us a little bit earlier, some of us a few years later. But the point is, when we learned that Ya'al Kigam, all of us were waiting, when am I going to come to those other five cases? The year I got on the spot. But when am I going to have the Ayin and the Lamed and all the others? Oh, Baruch Hashem, today we have the Lamed of the Ya'al Kigam. We'll be Paskin Taka like Abaya, not like Rav. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly. And by the way, this whole Havamina of the Machitzis, the Gemara is going to quickly fall away from. The Gemara is going to say, no, that everybody agrees, like Barry just said, that a Machitzis is a Machitzis is a Machitzis. There's no din of Lishma in making Machitzis. Mitchum will see shortly. Toshima. Hoyisham Ilan Egeder Echitzis Akonim Nidon Mishum Diyoimit. We spoke about Diyoimit a couple of days ago. This relates to the Pasei Biro'ois, that in Yetz Hashem we're going to see in another 2 days or so, that during the times of Aliyah L'Regel, people forgot to bring along their Polish spring water in the plastic bottles, and they didn't have any Mayim Chaim seltzer with them. So what are they supposed to do? They have to go and drink. So, Baruch Hashem, there were public wells that they were able to go and draw water. But that's good during the week. What about on Shabbos Kodesh? The well has a din of a Rishus HaYochid, because it's 10 Tfachim deep by 4 by 4, a Rishus HaYochid. You're drawing out the water, you're standing there on top, it's either Rishus HaRabim, or perhaps even a Carmelist, but you're not allowed to go and carry from a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim, or even to a Carmelist. What do you do? So the Chum instituted the following Kula, and they said that you can go and put up Pasig Birois. Pasig Birois means to go and put up four double posts in four corners, almost like think of a frame around the picture, and in the middle of the picture happens to be your bar, the be'er from which you're going to draw your water, and on the four sides, the four corners, you go and put up a double, not a double-edged sword, but a double-edged lechi. And that's called a diyoimit. The reason why it's called diyoimit, says Rashi, because it's diyoi amudim. Diyoi in Greek means two, and amudim means, an omud means a pillar, and here the pillar has to be one am in one direction, one am in the other direction. It's basically in the form of an L. It's got to be at least 10 tvachim tall, and then am jutting out of one side, am jutting out of the other side. Anyway, that's called the dioimit. So now, normally, how do you make these four dioimit in? Before Shabbos, you realize that there is a big bar here, and you see that Kanai Nahara are big, and they're going to need water. So you have some dedicated and talented young men or ladies, and they quickly go and they insert these four posts, double posts, right, the L-shaped posts, in the four corners. Now it says over here in the Mishnah, what happens if you had a ready Hayasham Ilan? What happens if you had a tree which was nice and thick, and therefore it was an Amma in each direction? Oy Geder, you had a fence. Oy Chitzes Akonim. Chitzes Akonim, the word Chitzes is like Mechitzes Akonim. that you had a machitza made out of konim, out of reeds, standing one next to each other. That's also mishum diyamid. Now the problem is we're saying about an ilon. If you're telling me that for purposes of machitzos and lechis, you have to have dedicated, like Rava said, or like Barry uses the term, lishma, so this ilon, how are you using it for a diyamid? You have to go and carve out and construct a nice post and embed it into the ground. What is this using an ilon? Evdi mo'achanami ma'iskinon, same teretz yason matchil lekach. This is even a greater chiddush, because what we're saying is that the Chachamim realize that every single year there's going to be Aliyah L'Regel. We're always going to need to put these four posts in. People won't have the time. People won't be able to find posts. They won't be able to construct it. You know what? Let's go and plant trees over here in the four corners, a room and a room around this bar. The tree is not going to be good today. It's got to be an amma in each direction. But in Yetchim in a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or in 50 years, eventually it's going to be wide enough to have in both directions. Oh, so this wasn't a machitza that came up on its own. This was dedicated. This was planted l'shem, the inyan of the machitza for the diyanim. So what's the chiddush? If it has the dimensions, the size, and the shape, and everything is great, so what's the chiddush over here? Kamashmon chitzas akonim. What's chitzas akonim? We have three cases: the ilon, the gedon, and chitzas akonim. And the chitzas akonim is kona poches mishloisha tvach. Under normal circumstances, the diyomet is a solid piece of metal or wood, and once again, it's jutting out in each direction one amma. And what happens if I didn't have a solid piece of wood, but I had a whole bunch of these reeds, and I didn't even have enough reeds to go and put all together to form a full amma? But what I did add, I had enough reeds to go and put in one, and then leave a space of less than three tefachim, put in another one, leave a space again less than three tefachim, add it all up that it should be up to one amma in each direction. For that, you'd need presumably at least three or four kanim to make sure you cover the full amma, one side and the other side. As long as they're holding and standing in place, that's also sufficiently kosher. And the emphasis, this was not a new halacha, Abai already asked Rabba, does such a chitzis akanim work or not? And we bring a raya from this braisa that in fact it does work. Ah, so the ilon or gedder is really only brought almost as an afterthought. Meaning, the ikar reason why this Mishnah Braisa brings this halacha of the ilon gedder chitzis akonim is tell us the halacha of the chitzis akonim. That what, you don't have to have just one amud, but you can have multiple kanim as long as it's within three tvachim of each of them, then you have the principle of lovel. But since we're saying chitzis akonim, we throw in ilon or gedder, but in echanami, there is no chiddush by the ilon, because it's talking about, like the Gemara said, Sha'ason metchil lekach, it was planted with that express purpose.
He planted two ilanos, one in each direction.
Or it could be that the ilan was sufficiently thick that you had an amma for each direction.
An amma is 2 feet. It's already, it's going to be 0.4 feet wide. That's,
you're saying that it's a very, very substantial tree. I agree with you.
It has to be 4 feet in each direction, no?
2 feet in each direction.
Is that amma mikan and amma mikan? No.
And amma is 2 feet. So 2 feet in one direction, 2 feet in the other.
Right.
So if it's sufficiently thick, then presumably it goes in both directions. Tarshima, ilon amesach al oretz. Now this is also a fantastic case of an ilon which is a very, very, very big tree. It is so big that it also has these very long branches where the branches and the leaves come virtually down to the ground. And this ilon is excellent in terms of giving you a certain degree of shelter and shade from a heavy sun and perhaps also from the heavy rain. You have an ilon amesach al aretz, this ilon which is all around and it's coming down towards the ground. If the leaves and the branches that are coming down, the foliage was coming down, is less than three tefachim from the ground, so therefore we have the principle of lovet, So it's as if all of this foliage hits the ground, the metal from tachta, then you have your own private rishus hayachid under this tree. The tree is a very, very wide, fat, thick tree with these beautiful branches all coming down, like a weeping willow type of tree, where you see all of the branches coming down, and underneath the tree there's plenty of room to walk around and to have a good time. And metal from tachta, so you have your own mini rishus hayachid, as long as it's at least 10 by 4 by 4, you're okay, you can go and carry underneath. So now the question is, how can I go underneath it? Didn't I say that for purposes of mechitzos, aliba de rava, it's got to be not oimid me'elav, you got to go and dedicate it, and it's got to be planted for that purpose. And therefore, how can you go and use this as a mechitza to go and carry on Shabbos? Evri mar nachmol, hachanami b'mayaskin, and shenotim et chilu lekach. That when he originally planted this tree, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago, he said at that time, Rabbeisai, you know why I'm planting this tree? Because I'm hoping in Yat Hashem, in due course, in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, we should be able to go and use it for the shade underneath the tree, and when it's going to be nice and hot outside, we're all going to be able to go and sit under the tree on Shabbos afternoon, we'll be able to learn the daf together, we'll be able to go and drink some Coca-Cola to go and cool ourselves off. It's going to be so geschmack, etc. Pray tomorrow, Yehoche the Talta Bekulai. If that's the case, you should be able to go and carry from one end of the shade, the shaded area underneath the tree, from one end to the other. So you're going to go and tell me, so maybe you can. But Aloma Ravuna Bereid of Yeshua, Eim Taltan Boy Elebeis Sosayim. Wow. What the Gemara is telling us is that you have this, at least theoretical tree. I don't know if it's practical, but you have a theoretical tree where the area that is encompassed by the foliage and by the leaves and by the branches of this tree can be more than a Beis Hasayim. How much is Beis Hasayim? Beis Hasayim is 5,000 square amos, an area of 50 amos on one side and 100 amos on the other side. Hasayim kechotzer hamishkan, 50 Amos, you heard already from Brother Shai a couple of moments ago, 50 Amos would be 100 feet. The other side is 100 Amos is 200 feet. So 200 times 100, that gets us to 20,000 square feet. That is some feet to have a tree that is even larger than that. And Freit of the Gemara, Memele, if this was just a tree that was planted and it has such a large area underneath, and you're telling me that you can only carry until Beis Hasayim, I can understand. However, if you planted a miyuchad lekach, why is it worse than any Beis Dira? If you happen to have, if you're a very wealthy individual, and you have this huge living room, which is as big as Giant Stadium or Yankee Stadium, it's very, very, very large, as long as enclosed with walls and a ceiling and all the rest, you can go and carry in it on Shabbos, because it's miyuchad l'dira. So the Gemara is assuming that you could use this also as a dira if it's so large, and that's the reason why you planted it. So why can't I go and carry more than a Beis Hasayim? Everything Gemara mishum have a dira deshashmish li'avir. V'chol dira shetashmish li'avir ein metal t'limba. The expression ein metal t'limba ele Beis Hasayim. The expression dira shetashmish li'avir already gives you a sense. This is a place which is out in the open. The reason why you make such a dira is not to live on a permanent basis, but to go and get the benefit of the outside fresh air, or in Manhattan, to get the benefit of all of the polluted air. But the point is that it's for air. That's the literal. The Rashi explains that this is really more poetic. What he really means to say is that these are not permanent places of living. They're only temporary abodes, temporary residence. Now, why would anybody live temporarily in such a tree house of sorts? Says Rashi, it's really talking about burgonim, which are used for shoimrim. You have people that are hired as security guards in the fields. They're worried about these violent protests and demonstrations. You can't rely on the police, so you have to hire your own security guard. And that security guard is standing there during the day and during the night to go and shoo away animals, wild beasts, or hooligans, or human beings, whatever, he's there. So now, he can't stand there 24 hours a day outside during the day. He'd get a terrible sunburn or sunstroke, and at night, it might be a little chilly. So, he goes in under these, in this tree, and he's able then to go and see what's going on. So, if it's a regular dira that you're miyachid for purposes of living on a permanent basis, then you're going to be metalpel even more than a base aside. But since it's that type of dira which is used specifically as that type of, actually called burgonin shebesodois, to use for the security guards, used for the farmers, used for the employees, maybe they eat lunch there, etc. So therefore, in that type of situation, you can only carry out of base asayim and not more than that. Toshima. Shavas. Yes. Yes, Brother
Shavas.
Right. We're going to, in fact, talk something similar, something very similar to that. Toshima, Shovas v'teil shu gvoya asora v'hu me'arba amois v'ad beis asayim. You have a person who's now Erev Shabbos. He wasn't able to get home in time, and therefore he is out in the wilderness, and he wants to be able to go and put up some sort of temporary residence for Shabbos. He also wants to know how much he's able to go and walk, because as you know, on Shabbos, you can only go to your tchum and not beyond that. So Shabbos, he established his mokum shvisa. He decided to reside betel. Tel means a mound, shugvoya asaru, which is 10 tvachim tall. For mi arba amos viad, vihu mi arba amos viad beis asai. That what? This was a tel, a mound. Now this mound wasn't just a little insignificant mound. It was a mound that was at least 10 tvachim tall, and it had. On top of the mound, you could walk from Arba Amis, 4 Amis, until as large as a Beis Asayim, which is a 5,000 square Amis, which we spoke about a moment ago. Or V'chin B'neka, the same thing would apply if you're not talking about residing on top of a mound, but if you wanted to go and reside down below, subterranean, in a Neka. Neka, strictly speaking, means like a crack or crevice in a boulder. What it really means is you have a crater, right? Like in the Grand Canyon, you have a deep spot where you can go and set up shop. Shu omek asar, which is 10 tvachim deep. Vumi arb amas the base asayim. Once again, it's not a little hole, but it goes form 4 amas until the base asayim. Or if you have a kamuk tzura, you put yourself in the middle of a field where you have kama. Kama means grain, which until now was standing, and now ktsura, it's cut down. But there are other stalks of grain which are still standing, which are makif, which surround this entire area. In all of these cases, the case of the mound, the case of the canyon, the crater, the case of the grain field, in each case, as long as you have these machitzis of ten tvachim, arum and arum, by the tail, you don't have to have on top of the tail the machitzas. You rely on the machitzas down below as if it's good asik machitzta, as if the machitzas down below come up. And so therefore he's surrounded by machitzas on the tail, by the neka, by the shiboilois. In all of these cases, these are effective machitzas. If he's surrounded on all four sides, he's able to go and walk that entire area on Shabbos. Plus chutzla, beyond that, another 2,000 amas, because we have the benefit of Tchum Shabbos until 2,000 amas. What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is Nachum al kasha on a Rava, a Raya to Abaya, because we have a situation over here that the tail and the Neka and the Sheboilois, L'chayra, they weren't created specifically for this Jew for Shabbos to be Machitzais. So it's like a machitza hoy medis me eleha, and it says that it works. According to Bai, that's fine. Lechi oim me eleh works. But what do we say according to Rava? Then when he planted the shiboilois, he specially planted it because he figured that one day he's going to want to go and stay there over Shabbos. Again, it's a little bit of a remote teretz. Person specifically went and planted grain, and he said, "Bishas Maisa, Rabbeisai." The reason I'm planting the grain, of course, is because we want to be able to have food. be able to go and take the grain, and we're going to go and grind it into flour and use it to go and make chalas and matzahs, etc. But just in case, one time I miss my flight or my train, and I get stuck here in the middle of this wheat field, I want to be able to go and use it for Shabbos, to be able to use it in machitzas once they're more than 10 tevachim high. I'm going to go and reside here, and I'm going to be able to walk the entire length and width for Tchum Shabbos. So tomorrow, Mishlein, the Kama Lechai. If you're talking about the granary, the grain field, okay, that's already a possibility. But a tail, the mound that we're talking about, or Neka, the crater that we're talking about, Ma'ik Lameimah, Rashi says, those are Miyemois Oilam. Those may have been there from the times of Adam Harishai. Did Adam Harishan go and make the mound or the Neka Almanas that I, 5,700 years later, will be able to go and use that for a Machitza and Shabbos? So therefore the Gemara now falls away from this whole premise. El the Machitzas Kol Yamalei Pligid Yehavi Machitza. When it comes to Machitzais, even for a sukkah, and this answers Barry's question of 15 minutes ago, when you're talking about machitza, everybody agrees it does not have to be done lishma. As long as you have a wall, you can use it for your sukkah, even though it means you're using tree trunks, you're using a concrete wall from your apartment building, or whatever. Machitzas do not have to be designed and dedicated specifically for mitzvah sukkah, or for mitzvah Shabbos. A machitza is a machitza is a machitza. Keep a ligi b'lechi. Machlokes is only by lechi o'imin me'elov, abai l'tame. What's the svaratak of abai v'rava? Abai holds the omelechi mishem machitza. U'machitza asui me'elah havi machitza. We had this already machlokes a couple of times. We had it both by koira, and now we're talking about lechi. That lechi is ultimately shemachitza. Since it's a machitza, it doesn't need any special halachos, because we just said that a machitza hoy medes me'elah is a good machitza. So a lechi, which is one step removed, which a lechi is deemed to be a virtual machitza, the same halach applies even to Sui Meleh, as a good machitza. However, Rav, the time of the Yom Alech Mishem Heker, he avida by Yodayim Avi Heker, Yiloy Avi Heker. A Rav gives a very, very intelligent, straightforward svara. Rav says the whole inyan of the lechi is Alts Heker, that people should recognize that this happens to be a mavu, and that's why you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. What happens if this lechi has on it a no parking sign, or it says on it children at risk, or it says drive slowly, or whatever. See, you got a lechi with all the hilchis lechi, it's 10 tvachim tall, it's according to Rabbi, it's 3 tvachim wide, according to Tanakama, it's at least a mashal, etc. So Rava says, if it's not a dedicated lechi for Shabbos, people don't realize that this is a Shabbos dika lechi that we're relying on for purposes of Shabbos. So it doesn't work. You have to have a dedicated lechi. Okay, so let's see how we pass in Toshima. Let's try to bring vitalize. Now, what is exactly once again, the art scroll has a nice picture, and what it shows is that you have a rows and rows of bricks, one on top of the other, where every other row, it's an incomplete row, and therefore you have a brick sticking out of row one, and then it's indented or receded in row two. Row three, again a brick is sticking out, row four, indented, and so on and so forth. You can almost use that for a stepping ladder. If you wanted to climb up to the top of the roof, you go carefully one step and another step, etc. Okay, so what's the halacha about that? If the distance of each row of bricks from the next one above it and the one below it is less than 3 tefachim, so then if you have the concept of lovud, ain't zerach lechi achar. They don't need another lechi because we'll fill up all of those spaces with lovud materials. It's now a full-fledged lechi, so no problem. But if it's shloish or more, zerach lechi achar, you would need another lechi. So now the question is, but this avne geder lechoyder was not created for a lechi. The reason why it was created, because the guy, the construction man, the contractor, built a wall, and he hasn't finished the wall. And that's why it looks so funny, that a brick sticking out, and here's not a brick sticking out, it's protruding, recession, protruding, recession. So it wasn't built for a lechi. So how can you use for a lechi if it's poches mishloisha? Kasha on Rava. When he built the lechatchil, he had in mind taka for a lechi. If that's taka true, then pshita. So what's the chiddush? Anybody that looks at this incomplete wall thinks to himself, I know why the contractor did that. The contractor eventually hopes to complete this wall by adjoining it or joining it to another wall, which is a little bit further down. And that's why he's left out every layer of bricks, every other layer he hasn't completed it, to be able to throw in some more bricks and to connect this incomplete wall with another incomplete wall further down. And therefore it doesn't look like a lechi. It looks like that he's just getting ready for the next stage of construction in the future. Kamash malan, nay, a lechi is a lechi, and it works. Toshila, Vitani Reb Chiya. We had this already Gemara a few days ago, that Reb Chiya learned in the Braisa, Koyso shatsili echad konos mechaveroi, beitshinirim mechutz v'sham b'fnim, beitshinirim b'fnim v'sham b'chutz, neither mishim lechi. Well, what is this all about? We have that famous halacha about something which is nirem bi b'chutz v'shavim bi b'fnim, or nirem bi b'fnim v'shavim bi b'chutz, which means that the lechi was not the same size throughout, and therefore you might only be able to recognize that there's a lechi inside the mavud but not outside, or vice versa, you notice that there was a lechi outside but not inside. So specifically over here we're talking about a wall of the mavui. What does it mean, konus mechaveray? That the wall, as it kept on jutting out towards the Rishus HaRavim, kept on getting thinner and thinner, narrower and narrower. That's the konus mechaveray. Okay. From the inside of the mavui you couldn't tell, because you just see that there's a wall that goes from the mavui towards the Rishus HaRavim, and it's a full wall. However, were you to go outside of the mavi, into the Rishus HaRavim, and go on the other side of the wall, you would see that the wall, in fact, is not as thick in the entire wall construction, but rather it's konus, it recedes, or it's indented. So, Ben Shneir B'chot, say if you see from the outside, B'shem B'fnim, but you can't see it from inside the mavi. Ben Shneir B'fnim, you could see it from inside the mavi, B'shem B'chot, but you can't see it from outside. Nina Mishum Lachia works. And now, again, the Gemara is assuming that this was, if you will, a construction fluke. This was not an intentional lechi. And nevertheless, it says it works for a lechi. So you see a raya to a baya lechi, oimen me'elav hava lechi. That's, in fact, the reason why he built that koisel konus mechaveroi, a little bit thinner here, a little bit thicker there, that it should act as a lechi. Straight to Yochi, Maika Mashalan, so what's the Chiddush? Like we learned earlier, that even though you only see it on one side, you don't see it on the other side, that's also okay for purposes lechi, according to Reb Chiya. Toshima, the final case. Rav was sitting in a mavui on Shabbos. Have Yosef Avuna come? Avuna, one of his Talmidim, was sitting there. On Malaysi Shame. So Rav said to his Shamis, to his Ishamis, his assistant, still icily kuzu de maya. You know, it's nice and warm here on Shabbos. Can you please bring me a pitcher of water? Adi also, as the Shamis is bringing the water from one of the homes in the Movoi out to Rav, guess what happens? Adi also, nofal lechia, the lechi that was standing there in front of the Movoi from before Shabbos, and perhaps for the last 5 years, 10 years, unfortunately fell down on that Shabbos. So Achvali Biyodi, he immediately motioned with his hand, don't come any further, because you're not allowed to carry any longer in this mavui. The lechi fell down. Kamaduchte. So he froze in his spot and he didn't move. Omer Ravuna. So Ravuna says to his Rebbe, to Rav, besides that lechi, don't you see there's also a tree there? And that tree, lechayra, we should be able to go and use as a backup by default lechi. Now, it's not true that we didn't plant that tree for purposes of the mavui. of Lamaisa Lechi Oymim Me'elav is good. So let's rely on that tree. Said Rav Omar Domi Haimi Rabbanan Kimandali Parashi in Shishmaita. He said about his Talmud Rav Una that he doesn't really understand or he didn't learn properly our Gemara. Bisamchina Lemi Esmoil. Did we rely on this Lechi from yesterday? And the answer is no, because yesterday we relied on the tree. We didn't rely on the Lechi. And therefore, relied on the Lechi. We didn't rely on the tree. And therefore, we cannot go and use this tree as a Lechi. That's what Rav said. That's the end of the story. So Gemara now is Medayik. Time to leave Samchinan. That's because we weren't Samech on it. What happens if on Friday they say, oh, there's no more Lechi, let's rely on this tree. Have a Lechi, it would have been a good Lechi. So now, of course, that's a raya to Abaya, the Lechi o Oymen Me'elov, have a Lechi. Akasha on Rava. Says Yimara, maybe we can go and say just the opposite. Leim Abaya v'Rava, b'daloy samchin alei pligi. Remember, we started the Gemara at the top. We said that Hecha deloy samchin alei me'asmol, if you didn't previously use it, everybody agrees you cannot use that Lechi. And that was our case over here, that he didn't use this tree yesterday. Yesterday you used the Lechi. And therefore you cannot use this tree bimkoim Lechi. That according to everybody. That's what Rav said to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, you messed up on a major point. We cannot rely on that tree as a Lechi. However, if already from Erev Shabbos we decided to use that tree, Abaye says that it's good. So says the Gemara, why don't we go and say that the machlok between Abaye and Rav is slightly differently. They're arguing in a case where we did not previously rely on a Lechi, on the tree as a Lechi, because they had a separate Lechi. That's where the Machlokes is, where Abaye said, that's fine. A Lechi is a Lechi is a Lechi, even though we didn't rely on it from Erev Shabbos, it's still good. And Rava said, no, you got to rely on it from Erev Shabbos. Maybe that's the Machlokes. But Hasam Chinnalei, however, if we knew that there was this tree from Erev Shabbos and everybody said from Erev Shabbos, let's use it for Lechi, have a Lechi, then it would work. Now, if you're going to learn the Machlokes that way, then Rav is paskening like Rava, not like a Baya. Because Rav is saying to his Talmud, Rav Huna, he said, when do we say that you can rely on a tree as a Lechi? Had we relied on it from yesterday? Now, who holds that you can rely on it from yesterday? According to this new interpretation, that would have been Rava. That Rava holds as long as you relied on from yesterday, both Abaya and Rava. As long as you relied on from yesterday, it's okay. But now the question is, now it's today. And today, that's where we have our Machlokes. And now Rava says you can't use it, because we weren't Samech on it Me'asmar. And according to this new interpretation, it's Rava that says, "Nu oy bazoi, since we didn't use it miyasmal, then it doesn't work." And that's why Rav says we can't rely on it because we didn't rely on it miyasmal. So maybe Rav is not paskening like a Baya, maybe he's paskening like Rava, and we're reversing the machloikis. Says more like loisokadai, but that cannot be. The barka, barka means a porch. They have a bay barchavu that was attached to the home of Bar Chavu, and that porch was held up by a pole. And they wanted to use that pole for purposes of an adjoining Mavli. For years and years, Abaye says, yes, you can rely on that pole of the porch of Bar Chavu, because it's right next to the Mavli. And Rava says, no, you cannot rely on it. Oh, so you see that even with the Esmoil, we have the Machloikas Abaye V'Rava. So you cannot say, like the Gemara just tried to say, Leim Abaye V'Rava, B'daloi Samchinan Alei Pligi, HaSamchinan Alei Hav Alechi. That they both agree that if you are Samech from yesterday, it's Alechi. It's not true, because Abaye says, yes, you can rely on it, but Rava says, you cannot rely on it. And therefore, says the Gemara, you cannot reinterpret the Machlokes the way we want it to. And therefore the story of Rav is a clear raya to Abaya against the halacha of Rava. So that's the conclusion of the sugya. The question is, how do we paskin? So Rashi already tells us, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, right before Mishnah. says Rashi, "Mehilchasa kabaye b'ha." The zui achas megi al kigam. That's the lamid. The lechi oimen me'ev li al kigam. Shaloch kabaye that we paskin like abaye. This is what Rashi says. As a footnote, you look up the Tosis in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Beis, where Tosis says, "No, we paskin like Rava by lechi oimen me'elav," and he says that the lamed of Yaal Kigam stands for something else. What does it stand for? It talks about a woman that had saw damziva b'yemei leida. The lamed stands there for leida. Can she go and count the kosher days of the yemei leida for purposes of her 7 days of Nekiyim for the Ziva? So in that case, we paskin like Abaye, not like Rava. But over here, in this case, Lechi says Toysis on Daf Membeis, we paskin in fact like Rava. Okay, so Machloikas, we showing him how we paskin. Parsha, we learn like Rashi that Lechi Oimen Me'elov is referring to our case, and therefore we paskin like Abaye. Okay, on to new Mishnah.
If they were arguing all these years.
Yes.
You think they would have already established as a lechi?
Yes.
Lechi omen me'alav or me'alav. It's been there, so they should have designated it. Why were they arguing all these years?
According to the way Rashi learns in the top Rashi, it's not enough that before Shabbos we all get together, all the Rashi Hakol, and we all decide, you see this pole of Bar Chavu's porch, let's have in mind that this should be a lechi. Rashi says, Shalei hukfa sham l'shem tikun mavi, t'lo yizminu l'kach. According to Rava, when they put up the porch and they put up the pole, they should have said to Bar Chavu, Bar Chavu, do you allow us to use that pole when you're constructing it, not only for the porch, we want it constructed for purpose of the mavi. And Bar Chavu should have said, of course, if you want to participate in the cost, putting up this pole, holding up the porch, cost me $5,000. If you want to pay $2,500, I'm asking. And if they taka paid, and they, okay, then his minul lekach. But the fact that it was after the fact, after it's already constructed, to go and say, I want to use it now for the movie, according to Rabba, that would not work. Okay, the next Mishnah and the following discussion is much, much simpler. The Gemara talks about now whether you can, the Mishnah talks about whether you can use a balchai for a lechi. Can you use an animal for a lechi? Now, of course, you're thinking to yourself, an animal for a lechi? The animal is not going to stay there. The animal is going to walk away and say, you yidulach, you want me to stay here for lechi? Kai shtayef and kop, you can stand on your head. So I am interested in walking around on Shabbos. I'm not interested in standing here just because you need a lechi. And presumably, although the Mishnah and the Gemara don't discuss it, but presumably it's talking about a case of kafus where they tied the animal down, but they did it in such a way that even the Pita and the ASPCA were satisfied. They gave it all types of luxurious delicacies, and they put a pillow there so the animal could rest, etc., etc. Anyway, bottom line is we're not concerned now about the animal. We're concerned about whether or not this would be a kosher lechi. It doesn't say anywhere that they ever did this. At least theoretically, could you use an animal for a lechi? It's up to Mishnah. Ba'koil oisin lechiayin, you can make a lechi out of any material. Afil b'davashish b'rochayim, even using an animal. Rameir oisin meir says, no, you cannot use an animal for purposes of a lechi. What is the svar of Rameir? Why not? If you can make it out of wood, you can make it out of plastic, you can make it out of metal, why can't you make it out of a live animal? Especially if the live animal is willing to stand there and stay there the whole Shabbos. What's the problem? So not Rashi here, but Rashi in Masechta Sukkah says that the reason is because the only way that this animal is alive and standing there is because it has air or oxygen within it. If you were to go and pull out all of the oxygen, the animal, Chas v'Shalom, would die and it would collapse. Don't think of an animal, think of a balloon. You have this huge Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon. It was more than 10 tvachim tall, more than 4 by 4 wide. And you take it, after Thanksgiving is over, you ask the Macy's people, do you need this balloon anymore? And they said, no. You take the balloon, you put it there, next to the mavui, and that's now your lechi. So that should work. And then some wise guy comes, and he takes a needle, he gives it a prick, and guess what happens? Woo! All the oxygen, all the air comes out, and the whole balloon comes tumbling down and becomes like a flat potato. Gurnished. Oh. So therefore the whole kium of that balloon is based on the air. Same thing when you're talking about the live animal. It's based on the air. Air is a dover she'ein boy mamish. It's not tangible. You can't go and put your hands around it. Therefore, that's why it's possible for a lechi, says Rashi in Sukkah, in explaining why Rameir says us. Umatama mishin goylel. Goylel v'doifik means that when you have a coffin, that the top of the coffin you put on the lid, that according to Rashi is what we call a goylel. Normally, of course, the lid of a coffin would be made out of wood. Here, the person didn't have any wood and he wanted to use an animal as the goylel. Again, we're talking more in theory than in practice because an animal is going to go and remain there. So you're going to tie the animal down and going to bury the animal. Come on, that would certainly be tzar bala chai. But at least if a person did put such an animal down as a goylel, guess what? Although it's a live animal, and throughout Shas we know that the only live thing that can become mekabel tuma is only a person. An animal cannot be mekabel tuma if it's alive. It's dead, and the veil is a separate story. But if it's alive, it can't be mekabel tuma. This is an exception to that rule, that the animal that you have designated to be the golel, to go and be the top, the lid of the coffin, would be mekabel tuma. As we bring Trashi on the last line. Now, continues the Mishnah, where Meir Metayer. Meir says no such thing. The reason, again, is because a mechitza, and here's a mechitza in the form of a horizontal mechitza, not a vertical mechitza, any mechitza which is a medes beruach chayim, based on a live animal, or ruach chayim, the ruach, the oxygen, the air that is within this chayim, ain't a mechitza, because Rashi said again in Sukkah, because the ruach, the air, ain't by mamish. And finally, the Mishnah says, "Akoyis alav gittin asher." If a husband, chas v'shalom, decides to give a get to his wife, and instead of writing the get out on a piece of cloth, they write it out on the back of an animal, and he hands the animal over to his wife. Holy cow! He wrote a get out on a wife, not a wife, on a cow, and he hands over the cow to his wife. Says the Tanna Kamma, it would work. But basically, the point is basically he says that you can't go and write a get on a ruach chayim. It's got to be written on a piece of cloth. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in the Brayso, Meir Oimer, the Meir of our Mishnah, says, Kol dovah sheyesh bei ruach chayim in oisin oisa, leidofen lesukka, v'leidlachel amovim, v'leipasam, libirois, v'leigoyim lekever. Says the Meir, you're talking about a live animal, you cannot use it for machitza, for anything. You cannot use it for the wall of a sukkah. You can't use it for lechi, for a movli. You can't use it for the pasi birois, for the people that want to draw the water out on Shabbos. You can't use it for goyle kever. All of these things don't work. And again, Rashi says in sukkah, because since it's ruach chayim, if you pulled out the ear, the animal would collapse, and therefore the avir ein ve mash. Reb Shimon Aglili Yomru, afin koitzen olav gittinoshan, like we had in our Mishnah, you cannot go and write a get on the back of an animal, or for that matter, on the horn of the animal. What's this for Rabbi Yossi Aglili? The Sanya says in the Pasuk, Sefer. What does it say in the Sefer? You have in Torah Ora Shalem. If Chas Shalom, a husband is not happy with his wife, if I'm not mistaken, it's in this week's parasha, in Parashas Ki Seitze. Voyim lo sim tzachem vi enov, ki motza be'er v'zdover, because of law, Sefer Krisis. Because of law, Sefer Krisis. So it says the word sefer. It says, Yimora, in the sefer. What's a sefer? Rashi says sefer means cloth. He brings the right from other places, from Yirmiyah, that a cloth is called a sefer. Menayel Rab is called, how do I know that you can go and write on anything? It doesn't have to be dafka on a cloth. You can write it on a piece of paper, lamoshel. Tamaloyim of a kosev lamikomokim, any type of ksiva works. Pray to Gamar and came out tamaloyim of sefer. So what does sefer come to tell you? Loyim lach masefer dovish ein boiruach, I'm just like cloth. Has no ruach chaim. In other words, it's inanimate. It's not alive. It's ultimate a food item. Those are the exclusions. Even though the Kosev law says you can write on anything, but the exceptions are that you cannot go and write it out on Ochel, and you can't write it out on an animal. That's Rabbi Yosi Sigli. For Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, Miksiv ba'sefer. If we'd say in the Pasuk, the cause of the law, b'sefer krisus, I would agree with you. But it doesn't say b'sefer, it says sefer ksiv. The sfirit dvarim ba'al mahud yasa. What the Pasuk really means is the cause of the law, he should write for her, sefer krisus, a document of separation, a writ of divorce. And so therefore we don't mean to say, to describe the piece of paper or the cloth that you are inscribing or writing the get on. But we're saying, go and give a divorce document. A divorce document could be in any form, even on the back of an animal, said the Rabban. Rabban, I the cost of law, my dashibi. What to do with the cost of law that Rabbi Yosi Aglili uses to tell us, me kol mokin, any type of ksiva. To go and tell you that if and when Chas V'Shalom a person wants to give a get to his wife, he has to go and give her a get, and he cannot give her money. Why would I think you can go and divorce with money? We know it says in the Pasuk, she's going to go and leave. She's going to leave her husband's rishus, and she's going to go into another husband's rishus. And since the Pasuk writes these two together, just like the Kinyan Kesef, it's one of the three Kinyanim, Ho'isha Niknis, B'sholish Drachim, B'Kesef, B'Shtar U'Vabir, just like the Abayi's B'Kesef, maybe the Yitzir is also B'Kesef. You can say goodbye with money. You say, my darling Gnendel, Miral, unfortunately we have a parting of the ways, but I'm giving you a huge present. Here's $1 million. Do whatever you want with it, and sayonara. I might think that that works, Kamash Malan, that it does not work. Barry, before you have a question, David Fishman had a question a moment ago. Yes, David.
Yeah, it seems like the deal that making it the lack of a bet. This is very unusual to say that because a bet is lacking, you're making a deal. It's normally from the yetera, from the extra word that you're making a deal. And here you're saying that something is that one could say, why should it possibly? Who would require you to say b'sefer?
I agree with you that usually an extra beis or an extra vav would be a riboy to go and add something. Usually leaving out a letter is not a riboy. If anything, it might be a miut. But the point over here is not so much riboy or miut as much as simple Webster's dictionary definitions. I see the word sefer. According to one man d'yamar, sefer means you write it down in a book. What's a book? A book means that it's a bunch of pages. And years ago, pages meant papyrus or cloth. That you had to go and write it down on cloth. So that's the definition of the word sefer. Sefer Chachamim, if it would say that you write out this divorce agreement, divorce document, in a book, you're right. What's the definition of a book? A book means pages, it means cloth. That I understand perfectly. However, says the Gemara, it doesn't say you write it in a sefer. It says that you have to give her a sefer krisus. Sefer krisus doesn't mean a book of divorce, it means a document of divorce, a writ of divorce. And therefore, what it means to say is that you have to go and take the rabbinically sanctioned text of divorce and give that to her in a written fashion. And that's what sefer krisus means. So therefore, it's not the definition of sefer over here doesn't mean book or cloth. The definition of sefer krisus means a document agreement, a divorce agreement, a divorce document, a divorce writ, and therefore what you're trying to bring a raya that means dafka klav and nish karai. Barry, you had a question.
Yeah, if someone had a large silver coin and carved and engraved into it the formula of divorce with the name of the husband, the name of the wife, with the exclusion of bekesef pasolats, or since it has the formula and it's written, would that be qualified?
You have to look back.
It's not mutually exclusive.
I understand. We have to look back in Maseches Gittin. I believe the Gemara asks a shaila whether an engraved get works. you don't only have to talk about a coin, you could also talk about, you have a large bar.
A Nazca.
Good. A large bar or a large piece of metal. Can you etch out on that with Etch-a-Sketch? Can you go and write out of the get? Or does it have to be Davke B'Sefer U'Bidyoy? It has to Davke be written with ink. So the point is, that's already a separate child that Masech is getting. Your question specifically about putting it on a coin, I don't think there's a problem of writing it on a coin. What happens if the cloth that it was written on is a very valuable piece of cloth? People look at it and say, this is an antique cloth which is worth $1,000. Can you go and write a get on that? And why not, as long as it's a kosher cloth? So it just means, don't use the money as the sole medium of divorce without writing out the get on it. Just hand over the money and say, Gnendel, goodbye, we're done, here's the money, you'll be able to buy a beautiful home in Florida, live not far from the Reese's, and they're very hospitable people, they'll certainly invite you for Shabbosim, etc., and Shalom al Yisrael. So without writing out a get, you just go and hand over the funds. Now, why would I have thought such a thing? That just like Havai is Bekesef, Yitzi is also Bekesef, that's not difficult, because remember, at the beginning of Masechta Kiddushin, it says that one of the three ways of marrying a woman is through a shtar. Not a ksuba like we write today. A shtar. People don't write out shtaris today, shtari kiddushin, because people give rings today. If the husband's not willing to give a ring, the wife is not going to be willing to marry him. So the point is, however halachically, you can write out a shtar. Now where does it say in the Torah you can go and give a shtar? Says the Gemara, makish avayi liyitzia. Just like Yetzias Bishtar, because of Los Sefer Krisus, you can also go and write a Sefer Kedushim with Ashtar. Oh, so you see a Makashabai Yetzia for purposes of Shtar, so I would say Makashabai Yetzia for purposes of Kesef. Just like you could be Kones for Kesef, you could be Yetzia for Kesef, Kamashvila. For Gersi Aglili, how does he know this, since we're learning it from the Vikos of Law? And he uses the cost of law to tell you that you can write it on anything. So, Ibazoi, how does he know this din that you're not makish abayit? Yeah? So, do not me sefer krisus, sefer kors vein debarachir kors. When the Torah says sefer krisus, means that the only thing that you can use to be koreis, to cut the relationship, is with a sefer and not with money. Rabbanan, how is sefer krisus mevayilay? What did the Rabbanan use the sefer krisus for? Debarachiris ben elavay no. To go and tell you that this is a final document, a final separation, and there are no strings attached. What type of strings? The kidasanya. Harit Gita Amanashali Tishtiyayim, Amanashali Telchi, the base of Vich Li Oilam. You have a husband who's furious at his wife, either because Chulila, she's an alcoholic, she drinks too much wine, or because she's constantly running to her parents' home and leaving her husband home by himself. And she didn't cook dinner, and she didn't do the laundry, and she didn't prepare the house, and he's furious. And he says to her, I give you this get on the condition. I give you this get on the condition that you don't drink another drop of wine. I give you this get on the condition that you never go back to your father's home. All of this ain't zekrisis. This is not kurdis because there are strings attached. And these strings stay with her until the rest of her life. Because if in 20 years from now she drinks wine or she goes the Beis Avich, then the get was pasul and mafreya. She didn't go and comply with the conditions. So that's not a krisis. However, if he says to her, this is a get, Amanasit, you're not going to drink wine for the next 30 days, or Amanasit, you're not going to go to Beis Avich for 30 days, how is it a krisis? Just wait it out for 30 days. Don't drink any wine. Don't go home. And 30 days later, it'll be a kosher get. Rabbi Yitzchak Glili, how does he know this thing? Nafkalemi kores krisis. It could have said in the pasuk, because of law, sefer kores. Why does it say krisus? This is David Fishman's point. We have extra letters here. It didn't have to say krisus. It could have said kores. The extra letters come to tell you, make sure that it's kores beinoy lebeino, no strings attached. Rabbanim kores krisis leidash, the Chum say that these two words are synonymous. These are not extra letters, and therefore we don't dash them. Okay, final Mishnah Gemara for today is Zok the Mishnah. Shiyara shechonze bebika veikifua klei veheva metalton besoicha ulbavad shehei geder gvoi asar tvach. We're talking about a person that, again, he didn't get home in time for Shabbos, and therefore he and the Shiara means a whole series of a caravan, of a series of wagons, and they're all going to be stuck in the middle of a wilderness for Shabbos. So what did they do? They all obviously disembarked from the Shiara before Shabbos. They kifua klei behema, and they took a whole bunch of kelim that normally are on the backs of the behema, such as all types of muzzles and saddles and freights and ropes and yokes and all things of that nature, and they piled them one on top of the other so that there would be a mechitza of 10 tvach. And since we're talking about a caravan, there were quite a few behemoths, so there were quite a few saddles and yokes and things of that nature. So they piled them all up and they made a gather around them, a kifur klei behema. Obviously, it's got to be 10 tvachim tall. If you just put one saddle on the ground, then maybe that's 2 or 3 tvachim tall, but that's not 10 tvachim tall. So you got to pile it on. But I got another problem. If you're going to go and put all of these things together, you know, these are not normal construction materials. You're just haphazardly putting one on top of the other. There could be spaces in between one saddle and the other. So now you have to worry about those pirtzois. For your pirtzois, you say this alabinyan. It's got to be that there's more omeid than there is a pirtza. Omeid meruba ala peretz or ala pirtza, and not forget. But you pirtza, you say this alabinyan. Make sure you don't have too many pirtzas. Kol pirtza shehi ki eser amois muteres meneshi ki pesach. If you have a pirtza that is up to the size of 10 amois wide, that would still be permissible. Of course, if you have enough omeid meruba al hapirtza, just because you have a pirtza of eser doesn't mean everything is mutter, because then you have a pesach here, a pesach there, and you're not going to have any wall. So it's got to be meruba al hapirtza. But the pirtza can be as wide as 10 amos. Why? Why? And that is your kapesach. That's the kapesach. Yes, you can also, but it's more than 10 amos. No good. And you make sure that you have to fill up part of that period, so that it shouldn't be more than 10. So we've had this halacha already before. Anyway, the Gemara is not going to focus now on the Shiara and on the Klei Behema. We're just going to focus specifically on this din that it's got to be Oimeid Meruba al HaParutz and not Parutz Meruba al HaOimeid. Now those two are mutually exclusive. If you have 51% Oimeid, you have 49% Pirtza kosher. If you have 51% pirtza and 49% omeid, not kosher. Question is, what happens if you have exactly 50-50? Of course, Barry will remind us, EF Shalit Samtzeim. So it's more of a theoretical discussion than a practical discussion. But what happens if, in fact, you were able to measure and find out it's exactly the same? 50% pirtza, 50% omeid, is that kosher or not? Is a shayla. The Gemara machlekes itma paritz koimid rapapa amar mutter. As long as it's not pirtza meruba alo oimed, it's okay. Now for the bread we show amar awesome. Rapapa amar mutter hachi agmei rachmana lemoishe. That's part and parcel of the halacha lemoishe misinai, or the tredus of Moishe, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moishe. Remember, we learned back on Daf Gimel that three things: shiurin, chatzitzin, umachitzin. Are halacha l'moishe misinai, so that's mechitzin. So the hilchos dimensions of mechitza were included, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu: loy tifroi tzruba. Make sure that the pirtza is not greater. As long as the pirtza is not greater, you're okay. You don't have to have that the omeid should be greater. Just make sure that the pirtza is not greater, and therefore it's part of ka'omeid kosher. What Rav Huna Amar Bnei Rav Yishua Amar? No, Aser. Achi Agmir Rachman La Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Beinu, Gidoy Ruba. Make sure that there is Omeid Meruba Ala Parutz. That there is more Oimed. So now, a clear cut Machloikis, if it's exactly 50-50, what's the deal? So now, let's try to bring it right from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, well, you appear to say, Yisei Reis Alevinyan. Make sure that the Parutz is not greater. Is the mashma hakibinyan? If it would be exactly the same as mashma, it's mutter. Chayra guta diuk. Everything more like the hakibinyan mutter. No, don't go and make a diuk. Say that if it happens to be more than the binyan, no good. But if it's kibinyan, it's mutter. Ela'ema in binyan, yes, al pirtza mutter. Go and say that if the binyan is greater than the pirtza, it's mutter. So in other words, don't allow for the pirtza to be greater. Make sure that the binyan is greater. Pray tomorrow, avol kabinyan, what would be the din if it's exactly the same mai? You're saying awesome. Like Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua. Yehochi listeni, lo yupirtzois kibinyan. The Misha shouldn't go and say, lo yupirtzois yeseres ala binyan. If you hold like Rav Huna, the Misha go and say, make sure that the pirtzois are not the same size as the binyan. Because if they'll be the same size, paritzka oimed is basel. Paser. More kasha. It's a good diuk. It's not a tiyufta. It's a diuk. Kasha. Toshima, let's try to bring another ayah. What happens if a person put on the top of his sukkah? He put on schach, and that schach was shpudim. Shpudim means spits, like you used to go and roast your chickens in the rotisserie or whatever. Oy baruch zemita, or he put on bedposts. Both of these things are made out of metal. Both of these things are kalim, and both of them are makabel tumah. And so therefore, they are not kosher schach. So what do you do? And the Yesh Rebbe B'Neim, Kimoisa, if there's enough space between one shpud and the other, or one arucha samita and the other, where you can insert kosher schach, then ksheira. Then it's kosher. Now it says in Yesh Rebbe B'Neim Kimoisa, which means it sounds like 50% of the sukkah has the shpudin on, put on 50% of kosher schach, and then it's kosher. Oh, so you see that porut ki oimed is mutter, is kosher, like rapapa. Is the charai to rapapa kasha and avunah b'Rabbi Yeshua that says that if it's 50-50, it's no good. Evdimor hachem ha'iskinim kishin nichdas v'yotze. It's talking about a situation where, in order to be able to put the shpudin up and to take them off, you had to have a little wiggle room, right? You can't just go and put it exactly in place. You have to have room to go and put it at an angle. You know, if you think, if you've ever been involved in constructing a sukkah in a narrow corridor, then very often you got to go and play with how you're going to get the schach on top of the sukkah. So you're going to have to do it from the side and have the second person stand on the other side and pull it and push it and move it and maneuver it. So, Kishinichlas Yoytse, there was enough room, they made more room to be able to get the shpudin arucha samita in. And if that's the case, that means the remaining empty space was in fact not 50-50, it was 51-49. There was enough room to put in more schach than the posala, shpudim, and arucha samita. Ah, so in Echanam is talking about 50-50. So therefore that's the reason why it's kosher. Frankly, more of an, you don't have to say that the case is talking about that. You could say that it's talking about a case where in fact there was exactly 50-50. You don't have to come on to this situation. No, I make an ukimta that in fact that's the pshat in the Mishnah that is talking about a case where there was slightly more room for the empty space to put in the kosher schach. So in fact we do have 51% schach, 49% pasul schach. Rava gives it easier terrors. Rava Omar, am I going to assume him? Orev, noisne, shasi, shasi, noisne, orev. What Rava says is, instead of talking about that we're going to squeeze in between the shpudim, right? We have two shpudim, which are parallel to one another. There's five amis space in between, and I'm going to stuff all of that with kosher schach. And then we have to worry about, is it 50-50, not 50-50? Says, well, I'm not going to talk about a situation, he leaves the shpudim in place, and he puts the kosher schach crisscross against, in other words, perpendicular, not parallel to the posel schach, but crisscross on top of the non-kosher schach. So therefore the shpudim are, if you will, lying underneath the kosher schach, and now the kosher schach is going over the entire roof of the sukkah. So although you take, you have 50% of the sukkah that has the non-kosher schach, you have 100% of the sukkah covered by the kosher schach, because the kosher schach covers not only the empty spot, but also it covers over the non-kosher schach. Oh, in such a case, everybody would agree that that would be oimed meruba ala aparutz, and that's why it's mutter, and therefore you would not have a kasha on Rav Huna. We'll stop over here. Rabbi Yisai Mitchell, continue tomorrow with further rais and kashes regarding this machloikas of Poritz Koimet. Any questions? Hearing none, Mietzshev tomorrow morning, 8:05, I see Brother Shai has a question.
No, I just wanted to thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you all for attending and joining and participating in this year. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai, 8:05, Mietzshev, tomorrow, as I mentioned.